The following program has been paid for by Vital Ministries of Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday. Man, we have an exciting big week coming your way, things that you're not going to want to miss out on with Vital Ministries. The first one we have is an all-family event, which is actually this Sunday evening, September 8th. Yes, that's tonight from 5 to 7 o'clock. Now, again, this all-family event, what we're going to do is we're going to be at Debbie's Celebration Bar, and it's going to be a great time. We're going to open up with food, and we have a caterer coming in, and it was fantastic last time. So make sure you come. You bring your family. You can sit together. Also, to meet other families. It's just going to be a great opportunity to have fellowship with other people, maybe even meet somebody you don't know. So it's going to be a great opportunity. Also, too, we have the Vital Ministries Worship Band. This is a new band that's been part of Vital Ministries that has just started. We've got some great people, some great musicians, and also too some great people who can just sing really, really well. And it's going to be an opportunity for us to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. And 2 months, we're doing this event every other month. So again, it's this Sunday night. This is our next time. But what's going to be an opportunity is to come. You can have food, fellowship, meet some new people, have some great opportunity of worship. We're going to give you space in the time of worship where you can really get between you and the presence of the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to move and go into your life. Just a great opportunity. We're going to be doing a teaching. I'm going to be talking about who is your hero. And it's going to be a great opportunity as we dig into the Bible and we look at it. A lot of times we look at what a hero is. We're going to see who is the true hero, which is obviously Jesus Christ. But we're going to go into a little bit more detail on that. So you don't want to miss that event. And again, it is this Sunday night from 5 to 7 o'clock at Debbie's Celebration Barn, which is on the south side of Oskaloosa. It's going to be a great time for the family to come in and enjoy fellowship, food, and great worship music together. So I just encourage you to come so you have the invite. Also, too, it's hard to believe, we are kicking off our Vital Men's Ministry. It is going to be on 9/11, and we did that for a specific reason. We're going to have that at the Well in Pella. And it's just going to be a great opportunity for men. We're going to go from 6 to 8 o'clock, and we're going to be kicking off our new teaching series, which is going to be called Followership. That's different than leadership, because leadership really moves into followership for those who know Jesus Christ. We're going to be looking at two incredible men. We're going to look at Elijah and Elisha as we kick this off. So you're going to want to come to the Well this Wednesday night, men's event only, and it's going to be in Pella. And again, we're going to have food for you, barbecue. You're going to come hungry, guys. We got a lot of food for you to eat. Also, too, we are going to have the worship band out of the Bridge Church in Ottumwa. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but those folks know how to worship. It'll be full of energy. It'll be an incredible evening. And also, too, to top it off, I've asked Marty Schmidt to be our guest speaker. So if any of you have heard Marty comes with enthusiasm and comes with a lot of excitement. So it's going to be a night, again, on 9/11, Wednesday night. You're not going to want to miss this event. So it's just going to be a great opportunity for men as our Vital Men kickoff as we start the new teaching series this year. So don't want to miss that as well. Also, too, I just want to encourage you. We continually send out devotionals 6 days a week, both for men and women. You can go to our vitalministries.org website and pick that up. You can get it on demand on your phone, sent to you every day by email. And you can get that inspiration that helps you in the midst of your day. We have 5 different writers that write for the men. Just a great time of opportunity to dig in a little bit deeper, give you a little bit of that extra insight in your day. And then also to my wife, she writes for the women. Just again, she just does a beautiful job and speaks into the hearts of the women out there as well. So I just encourage you that we have the devotional part as well that just give that inspiration. And as always, as every ministry, yes, we could sure appreciate your donations. And you can go to vitalministries.org again, and there's a donate page where you can send it to. It shows our P.O. box right here in Oskaloosa that you can send it to us as well. exists because of contributions of people. So again, I just would appreciate anything that you might do. Allow the Holy Spirit, and if not, you just want your participation is just simply listening. We thank you for doing that. And as you go out today, maybe you're traveling down the highway, you've turned it on KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio dial. Just want to thank you for listening today. We're just going to have a great opportunity to continue. This is our last day of our teaching series, but we thank you for listening. Be careful as you travel down the highway. Also, too, those of you that are headed for church, we want to tell you thank you for participating and allowing us to be a part of your Sunday. And maybe simply you're at home today, and this is your church home. This is where you get your teaching. We're going to be jumping in James chapter 5 this morning. So if you want to get your Bibles out, we want to again thank you for everybody who listens to Vital Ministries on Sunday morning on KBOE. But we've been doing this teaching series as we get started here. This is actually our last Sunday, and we've been talking a lot about work. And James is a book about works. James gets right down to the nitty-gritty about life and how we live it out. It's really the main theme that I have seen as I've studied and done this. It is live action. And I love that portion of it because it's taking our faith and then taking from that is through our works, about through our faith of how we live out life and how we do life is what James is talking about. And last week we talked about work and treasure, how so many people get caught up in chasing treasure in their own work. As Indiana Jones would say, treasure and fame and fortune. The hard truth, we come into this world with nothing and we leave it the same way. And that's absolutely the truth of how we do life. As we've studied in the book of James, we've learned that faith without works is dead. It's literally living out, again, live action in your faith life. Stepping into your faith is work. It's living it out for the glory of Christ. We have throughout the book of James that it takes work and the commitment to live a Christian life. It isn't for the weak or the faint of heart being a Christian believer. It's choosing to live a life of live action in every part of your life. This past week, I was asked by Coach Ed from Newton Cardinal football team to speak with the young men before they took the field. Man, I tell you what, I love doing that. I got an opportunity to do that a week ago on a Friday night. They were actually playing PCM, and they were playing at the Central Football College field, and it was just an exciting night. And I gave I always get an opportunity as I do. I give them a word, and out of that word, I apply it to the game of football. It's just something that can deal with how they do things out in the game. And I talk to them what it meant to have incredible character, and then also too, along with that, I give them a piece of God's word from the Bible and how it applies not only to how they can do it on the football field, but how they can truly look for Jesus as a part of their life. Now, I've had many, many people come up to me and says, Mike, how can you truly do that? How can that be allowed in a football locker room? Well, I'm going to tell you how it can be. There's just three things that I think that's component parts that allow someone to be a chaplain of a high school football team. Number one is you can't force the young men to listen. They can choose not to participate. A lot of people didn't know that, but they can have the freedom to do. So if they don't want to listen, they don't have to. Now, here's something that's interesting. Every time I've been asked to come up and speak to the Newton Cardinals, and I also too have a relationship with those coaches, they'll ask me, and especially the football players as well, hey, Mike, make sure that everyone is in because we really want to hear what you have to say. Now, only the Holy Spirit does that thing, so I just encourage you as well. They want to be there. They want to hear the words. Not only, it's not my words, but it's how the Holy Spirit speaks and uses me as an instrument to speak to those young men. Number two, it's a decision of the head coach and the athletic director. Straight directly, that is. And a lot of times, I think coaches and athletic directors walk in fear. And I think it says in the Bible that we're to fear not. And I just encourage maybe some are listening out there and you are a head coach or you are an athletic director. Fear not. Trust the Lord in this because I really believe because you can really teach the game of football and credibility of each young man as they take the field. And then also, too, you can apply it to how Jesus Christ is our Savior at the same time. And lastly, don't walk in fear. I've said that multiple times, but fear not. I trust God in everything that I do. That's just part of how I do life. Now, back to the live action about our faith. This is the result of what happens because of time before so much of what we do in life, we just live out life. And I'm just thankful for that, of what God does. But today we're going to jump into the Bible. We're going to look at James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. And we're literally closing out the book of James today. But if you got your Bibles at home and you're listening, you can open them up. And if not, you're traveling down the highway, just open up your ears and receive what the word of the Lord says, starting with verse 13 in James chapter 5. It says this: Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall. None fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away in the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings that sinner back from the wandering will save that person from death and bring about forgiveness of many sins. Man, that's a powerful word as we read that this morning. But my point number one, if you're writing it down, if you're listening today and you're writing down, jotting down notes, point number one is this: to have power in prayer, you must experience God's presence. In the beginning of the verse, it says, any of you who are suffering hardships, you should pray. Everyone within the sound of my voice, without a doubt today, is having some sort of hardship. Something is going on. We deal with struggles and strife every day of our lives. Isn't that correct? But I find it so interesting. A lot of people, if you go to Facebook, will take time to post things about hardships that they're dealing with in life. Whether you like it or not, it's there. Some will ask for prayer. Some want you to donate because of their hardship, and oftentimes people post hoping and wondering, does anyone simply care? I find that interesting that we go to those places to post things about it, personal things in our life, and how much personal things have been put on Facebook about the hardships of life. And I always look at that because when I see those things that are posted, it tells me that something is going on with that individual. And again, it goes back to what we just read in the book of James. Do we take the opportunities to pray? Few times do we go and pray seeking God's presence as to just wanting a quick fix or a quick answer. Isn't that true? Jesus says this about prayer in Matthew chapter 6, 7 through 8. He says this: And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Don't be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you even ask Him. Have you ever been around someone who is praying about a situation and they will say in a prayer over 1,000 different words about something that they're asking the Lord for help in? And I'm not saying that's necessarily bad, but it's simply a lot of times, folks, I think when we go to the Father by the verses that we just read, it's simply going and asking in a sentence and trusting by faith that God will hear what you say. My daughter recently called and asked for some advice about how to do something on their home that they are building in Colorado Springs, and she didn't go on and on about the ask. She said it in a simple sentence, and I gave her my response. She knows that I had the answer because I've dealt with many times a lot of those situations because of the work that I do in my life. But I loved it that she asked me, and also I appreciated that she got straight to the request. She didn't give me any babble. She didn't go on and on with the request. She simply brought it directly to me. And that's really, I really, really appreciate that she does that. And she learned with me that I've learned in a lifetime what I know. Because she can trust that. It didn't happen over a short space of time. It was time of doing what I do. So she could trust my answer. See, being a person of prayer, a prayer warrior for God, will take you a lifetime, folks. It's not something that simply happens overnight. It's learning to walk with God moment by moment. You develop a relationship with Jesus that takes a lifetime. And God speaks to us in many different ways during our day and in our prayers. See, folks, These are some of the responses that how I've learned the presence of God and how the Holy Spirit speaks to me. Many, many times it's this way, simply a soft voice, sometimes through other people, sometimes in nature, and a lot of times when I'm reading my Bible. There are multiple ways that God speaks to us, and sometimes uniquely with each person. It's always unique, and I find that interesting. What works for one person doesn't necessarily work for another. God, the Holy Spirit, works differently in how he speaks to us. In James 5:13, the writer touches on both ends of the spectrum. If you have hardships, pray. And also, if you are cheerful, praise God. He talks about our valleys as well as our mountaintops. God is there in both of them. Both are places where God is, and both places where God asks us to come to him in prayer. So let me give you a nugget on how you can come into God's presence as you pray. And this is really, really important. I hope you think this through as we're talking about this morning. The first thing is to experience God's presence. It starts with Jesus. You can't come to the Father except through Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12 says this, "Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can come boldly and confidently into God's presence." You want a powerful prayer, folks? It all starts with the gospel. You put your faith in Jesus, repent of your sins, seek the cleansing blood of Christ, and you will be raised into a new life and become a child of God. Then you can pray every day to the Father, and you can come boldly to the throne of grace. Isn't that exciting when you think about that this morning, that I can come boldly to the presence of God himself, simply because it comes through his Son? Number two, here's the second thing you should do as you pray, is that you start praying. You simply start. When was the last time that you stood before the Lord and prayed? If you want God's presence, folks, it will take you to go to your knees. It will take you to make time to be in the presence of God. We just can't experience, okay, Lord, I showed up in here. I want you to be here as well. No, it takes time in life, and God wants us to set aside time. We all have 24 hours in a day. We do with it as we please and what we want, but is God a part of that day? I encourage you to make him, if you want powerful prayer, folks, and if you want your prayers to be heard, take time to get in the presence of God. Go to Christ, and the next thing, step into it. Again, live action, and do it. And this moves us now to our next point today. Is this point number two, is to have power in prayer. You must pray with other people. That's essential. These verses put high importance with praying with other people. If you're sick, call the elders to pray. If you're in sin, confess it to a trusted person. If you need healing, ask others to pray over you. You know, I love that portion because when we look at that portion of Scripture, it also tells us that the elders will come and anoint us. You know, sometimes, folks, that is exactly what we need. We just need not only a special anointing from God himself, but we also, too, need brothers and sisters in the Lord, the elders, that they will come to our home and pray over us and actually come and bring the healing oil that will come and they anoint us in the presence of God. Jesus puts group prayer this way in Matthew chapter 18, 19 through 20. These are Jesus' words. He says, "If two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among you." See, there's importance about being in group and also to and having group prayer. This is an encouraging word, I believe, for us this morning, is that God is in our midst when we join together in prayer. This is one of my hopes for our vital gathering event, which I talked about in the very beginning of our teaching this morning, is that we'll have people who are there just to pray. We have people who are there that are simply going to be there to pray for you. We're going to make space for that kind of prayer. And if you want to become a new believer in Christ, I promise you this, we're going to pray for you. If you need physical, spiritually, or emotional healing, we have people ready to pray for you as well. If you're wanting a filling of the Holy Spirit, we have people ready to pray. What a great opportunity where we can see and experience the presence of God himself all through the power of prayer. And that's what we set apart as the vital gathering. And folks, we just read the promise of the verse that God stands by his word, right? And I believe in our region that revival and transformation is here, and God is wanting to do something big today. in our lives. We just need to come together and pray. And again, I think some of these events that we have here locally, again, our vital gathering is a place that we can come together and begin those that process to get to experience the presence of the of God Himself through the Holy Spirit, and also to where we can come, we can bring our prayer of needs, but also to we can bring our prayer of praise as well. What a great opportunity. And again, folks, I ask you, don't miss this event. It's going to be really, really good and give us opportunities to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. This brings us to our final point today is this, is to have power in prayer, you must pray with faith and righteousness. I'm going to reread again verses 16 through 20 for us because I think there's something here that might help enlighten this last point. It says this in verse 16. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now get this. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. See, prayer is powerful and not based upon the person who is praying, but because of God who is praying, who the God we're praying to. Praying to a false God or to a false religion, folks, those prayers are meaningless. But praying to the one true God and your prayers will become powerful. That's essential. Also, a significant word comes out of verse 16 as we read again this morning, the earnest prayer of a righteous person. Now, what does that mean? What does righteous mean? Righteous means this, that you have behavior that is morally and justifiably right. This behavior cannot be attained on our own. No way it can't, folks. You can try all you want. Only by the cleansing of sin by Jesus and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit are we made righteous. No other way. We can obtain righteousness through Christ only. This means we are made right before God by what Jesus did on the cross. That's essential. I hope that you understand that point this morning, and that's clear. You cannot be righteous on your own, only through Christ. James also has given us a comparison to Elijah. He states that he was human, just as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Now that's a big audacious prayer, wouldn't you say? And you can find that prayer actually in 1 Kings chapter 17, 1 through 7. See, the prayer of Elijah wasn't about him. It was so that Israel would turn from their wickedness and see God and that God was in control. He was praying for Israel's heart to return back to God. That was the whole reason for his audacious prayer. Some might be saying today, Mike, but you know what? I've prayed those earnest prayers. I've sought out God. Still, my loved one or even my family member still has cancer or has even passed away. Or maybe I've been praying for that loved one who's dealing with that addiction to be broken, yet it still hasn't happened. Or a marriage that God would heal my marriage, and yet it hasn't happened. All these prayers of earnestness go to the situation with God Himself. All of us have different prayers that we ask. So, what can we say about that prayer? I encourage you, hear me on this, I encourage you to pray earnestly no matter what the outcome might be. God hears our prayers and loves us greatly, folks. Can you continue to have faith no matter what the outcome may be? Whether or not your prayer gets answered how you want it? See, that's a tough one. That's where the rubber really hits the road. And those are tough things. And I think of great men who have actually lost family members. One of them, Greg Laurie, is an incredible pastor and also to a book writer. And he lost his son. And I encourage you, if you've ever read his book, I think you're going to find some things inside that book that will help heal your heart in the loss of a loved one. I have a pastor friend of mine, Kevin Korver, and he lost his son. And I know it breaks his heart. And I know so many people that I've talked to in construction and different things in my life who have lost kids. And folks, it's a hard thing. And it doesn't mean that you didn't pray earnestly enough or that you didn't do enough so that your child would be taken or this addiction wouldn't be broken. See, many of us here have wayward children also as well. brought up in church and testified to their faith, baptized only to go to college and lose their minds in their faith. They break our hearts and we ask, what did we do wrong? We all have that story of that prodigal son who takes his inheritance and leaves the father. He goes out and blows all of his money on his friends and parties all night long. Everyone is your friend when you're buying the beer, folks. Just go to any wedding and then you will see that. Finally, for the son, the money is gone and his best friends are too, so he goes to work feeding pigs. Too prideful to return home. Yet his heart is broken and his money is gone. It says in the story that the father goes every day looking for the son. I can't believe that the father had nights of prayer, praying protection over his son, praying for his well-being. Every day earnestly praying for his son's return. But then there was that one day in a distance. He sees his son walking home, returning to the father. I see, folks, I love this story because it gives me hope in my faith as we pray for wayward loved ones as well. We never give up and we continue to earnestly seeking God for their return. Folks, I believe in prayer is the direct line to Jesus that goes to the Father. I pray confession every day, asking God to forgive me of the sins that I've done. It's not that I go outright in sin, but I do fall short and I need Jesus to forgive me and cleanse my heart. I also bring those sins before trusted men and who care for me and have my back, and I share with them. But maybe today you feel that your prayer life has no power. I encourage you to ask Jesus to show you why. Maybe you need to confess and ask for repentance to Jesus. He's always there to listen. In closing today, if you want to pray with power, we must pray often and enter into the God's presence. We also need to pray with other people for powerful prayer, and if we want powerful prayer life, we must pray with righteous faith, all through the grace of Jesus Christ. Folks, this is the conclusion of our teaching series on work in the book of James, and I hope it has been exciting for you. We're going to start a new teaching series next week, looking into followership. We're going to be looking into great men like Elijah and Elisha. So it's going to be some powerful teachings as we continue. So I just encourage you today, just be prayerful what God has for you. But maybe today you need that prayer. So let's pray together. Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this day, this opportunity to come before you. As we look in the book of James, your brother, the words that he wrote that you inspired through the Holy Spirit to speak about what it means to have a powerful prayer life. I pray, folks, that I pray to you, Jesus, that people that are out there today just need time to set a time before you. I pray that they take that time, Jesus. And maybe there's that wayward person who has never asked you to be their Savior. Today's that day. You simply come and you confess, Lord, I am a sinner. I bring my sins. I confess that I have not been living my life right. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And we know that you're faithful and just to forgive. We thank you, Jesus, and we love you. In your name I pray. Amen. Again, folks, just a reminder, tonight we have Vital Gathering in Oskaloosa at Debbie's Celebration Barn from 5 to 7. You don't want to miss that event. And again, I want to thank you for listening. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.